be on the record. This is a pre-hearing conference for hearing examiner file W-18-009. It is the appeal of the adequacy of the final environmental impact statement prepared for the proposed amendments to the proposed accessory dwelling unit legislation. And the appeal was filed by the Queen Anne Community Council. So first off, I'm going to go around the table and ask the parties to introduce themselves. We'll start over on this side.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Jeffrey Eustace for Queen Anne Community Council.
Thank you, Mr. Eustace.
I'd observe it. I guess it's been a while.
It has.
Hi, good morning. My name is Martin Kaplan, architect, Queen Anne resident, chair of the Queen Anne Community Council Land Use Review Committee.
Okay, thank you.
Allie Pinucci with the City Council Central Staff.
Thank you.
And Tadas Casilius with Van Ness Feldman here on behalf of the city.
Thank you, Mr. Casilius. Okay, well, we're here to discuss procedural matters, as you all likely know. There are several we need to cover, including hearing schedule, witness and exhibit list schedule, and discovery, if there needs to be any. Is there anything else the parties would like to cover?
Let's see. Yes. In that the examiner's office received communications from a non-party as to interest in settlement, mediation, etc. That's typically a topic that comes up. To address that right up front,
sure.
Yes, Queen Anne Community Council is interested, willing to participate in settlement, mediation, etc. Recognizing, of course, that this is not a private project. This is a challenge to an EIS for legislation. And that, of course, you know, is a constraining factor on mediation. But with that in mind, nonetheless, the petitioner is interested, willing to try to seek resolution.
Great. Okay. Mr. Casilius, you have any views on that?
I'll say at the outset, I don't have direction yet from my client. I concur with Mr. Eustace's cautionary note, which is I think this presents a unique challenge in that the mechanism for settlement, I would imagine, is a forthcoming legislative action, and the city is, of course, constrained in what it can agree to do in that context. It's a little more limited, so there's, I think, good reason to be cautious. I don't have direction yet. I think our preference in light of that is to proceed with the scheduling of the hearing. We would confer then with clients and see if we can reach resolution on whether we want to pursue this further. But that we really see the need to get the hearing scheduled, the pre-hearing dates scheduled, and if there's more time needed, if we end up pursuing mediation, that we could address that later.
Okay. Yeah, and I know that there are mechanisms to use when legislation's involved, as we probably all know. So saying that, we do not offer mediation services here through the hearing examiner's office, but we have several places that we could refer you to if you are interested in that are low or no cost. Obviously, there's a variety of expert mediators out there in the community that could also be hired at a cost. So whether or not that's an issue is something I leave to you. I do encourage you to start talking to one another about it, though, in ways that it could happen, and to let us know as soon as possible if and when an agreement is reached to enter into mediation.
Very well.
Okay. So I think you probably both know the drill with this. what I need to hear from you is how many witnesses, ballpark, you think you will be calling at the hearing, how many exhibits you plan to introduce, and again, you're not held to those numbers. It's just a sort of an estimate so that we can figure out how many days we need for hearing. I need to know whether you're going to do any pre-hearing motions, and I will leave discovery up to you if there's any need for that. So we'll start with you, Mr. Eustace, since it's your appeal. How many witnesses do you expect, or just ballpark, think you might be calling?
Ballpark, I would, not including the city's witnesses, I would say roughly four witnesses.
Four?
Four. Ballpark.
Okay, right, I understand.
With respect to exhibits, I did propound a request for public records to the city on October 29th. I got a response that the first installment would be produced on or about December 14, roughly okay. 6 weeks after the request. And that's the first installment. I don't know how many installments there would be. For purposes of identifying exhibits, we would like to see the response to the request for public records. In the prior proceeding, that is in the challenge to the DNS, likewise there were requests for public records, and I believe the requests were, as in this case, made shortly after the filing of the petition.
Uh-huh.
And I seem to recall that those requests were not fully forthcoming until something like October or something. Mm. By fully, I mean, you know, all of the installments.
Right.
So I don't have a good read on this. Once we get those, in the prior proceeding, we got something like 4,500 pages of email documents, mm-hmm. which, of course, then had their metadata. And just reviewing that, well, it took more than a day. Mm-hmm. We would need some period of time after getting, you know, the full response
right.
to be able to identify exhibits. And apart from, I guess, making sort of a wild guess as to when that would be, mm-hmm. I really can't give a specific date.
Okay.
I mean, that's the situation we're in.
Okay. Mr. Casilius, do you know how many installments there may be of this response to the public records request?
I was just conferring with Ms. Panucci, and I think we're... The answer is not definitively, but I was under the impression that it would be complete on that day. We can confirm just to make sure.
Okay. And I'm sorry, Ms. Panucci, can you spell your first and last name for me? I just
sure.
didn't catch it.
My first name's Allie, A-L-Y.
Okay.
My last name's Panucci. It's P-E-N-N-U-C-C-I.
Thank you.
And if I could just... A quick response. I understand, and Mr. Eustace is entitled to response to the public records, and we're going to do our best to get it to him as quickly as possible, mm-hmm. So that we can proceed with the towards hearing. I think that the issue, though, just to remind everybody, we're dealing with an appeal of an EIS, and really that is focused on the document itself and its adequacy. And while certainly that doesn't mean that other evidence is not appropriate, it's less common in those situations to be relying on extensive documentary evidence. But really what we're focused on is the document itself adequate and consistent with SEPA? And so when we're talking about thousands upon thousands of emails and the metadata in those emails, that starts to get a little wider ranging. Only to say, I think we should be trying to focus towards, the city would like to focus on driving towards hearing, and we'll get Mr. Eustace as much as we can as quickly as possible to facilitate that. But okay. It ought not be the holdup if there's, because the request itself is extensive. It's asking for every single email for the last several years related to this, and that the response needs to be complete. Okay. But I don't think that that speaks then to how much information is required for purposes of proceeding towards hearing.
Okay. So I'm going to hold you at your word that it will be done by December 14th. And if it's not, would you please let me know?
Absolutely.
Okay.
As soon as possible.
Because that might have a bearing on our dates.
Understood.
And you said you needed how much time to go through this?
I would say at least a couple of weeks.
Okay.
Again, and treating the past as prologue.
Yeah, then that may be fine for our purposes because our office is booked up through January already, so we won't have a hearing date before February. And I did see your notice of unavailability, and we'll try to schedule you in between your vacations or whatever they are.
Presumptive that it's vacation.
Presumptive vacations, yes. Okay. All right. So let's see. We've got sidetracked. So how many witnesses do you expect to call?
So, again, ballpark, since we're respondents, it's going to depend in part upon, I think, the witnesses that Mr. Eustace identifies. Also, I heard him mention he was planning on calling several city witnesses, some of whom might be on our list as well.
Right.
I would imagine it could be as low as four. It's more likely to be 8 or 9,
okay.
but not much more than that, depending upon, again, the topics that Mr. Eustace's witnesses
sure.
will address. And then in terms of exhibits, again, I think we're in a bit of a responsive posture, the mm-hmm. the city's position. Obviously, that we'll have the EIS and the appendices and some of those core documents. But beyond that, we're in a bit of a we have to wait and see, again, the nature of the witness testimony that they're anticipating before we can really identify how much more than that we need to present it here.
Okay.
And one other question the examiner asked was about motions. The city mm-hmm. at this point is still evaluating motions, but we do expect to file at least partial dispositive motions.
Okay.
So we'd want to build that into the schedule as well.
Okay. Right. All right. So for us, our calendar, as I said, is full until the first week in February, and I will be coming out of 2 full weeks of hearings before that. So my preference would be to try to schedule us in the 11th through the 14th, if that works for both of you. Do you think 4 days would be sufficient, or do you think less, or what do you think?
So, because I've already scheduled a LUPA hearing, during that week.
I see. Okay. That's not going to work for you.
And at the beginning of that week, I have a brief due for that LUPA hearing.
Mm-hmm.
My preference would be not to do it then.
Okay.
Especially if the city is contemplating a dispositive motion. And, you know, as I haven't ascribed dates, but as I think of, you know, first the identification by petitioner of witnesses and exhibits, and typically there's an interval of some sort, a week, 2 weeks, for then the city to identify its witnesses and exhibits.
Mm-hmm.
And then there would typically be a schedule for dispositive motions. As I put all, again, I haven't ascribed dates, but as I put all that together, the petitioner would instead favor a hearing date that would be in April. And the reason I say that is, well, my absence was actually planned and paid for before we filed this appeal. And so know, I would like time to essentially collect myself and then be able to prepare for the hearing, et cetera. So my return is actually the first day would be March 19th. I would not be prepared to begin a hearing on March 20th. That's our petitioner's preference and limitation.
Okay. Well, I should warn you, I'm going to be out of the office from the 3rd to the 17th. So,
of
April. So that will not work.
If I could respond, the city, for its part, was, I think, aligned with the examiner's initial inclination of trying to get the hearing scheduled prior to Mr. Eustace's month of unavailability. In terms of the sequence of events, we could certainly accommodate that. I think that the types of motions that the city is planning on advancing, dispositive motions, they don't need to follow the witness and exhibit lists. Mm-hmm. They're on legal issues, and so I suspect that that's not going to hold us back, and could schedule those concurrently. We could commit to moving forward expeditiously on a motion schedule. And then similarly, again, I think the preparation of witness and exhibit lists on the first go-round, preliminary lists, we can file them concurrently. I think this is somewhat, I appreciate what Mr. Eustace is trying to do to accommodate our ability to be responsive. Mm-hmm. I think that's more relevant when we get to the final witness and exhibit list, where we're now finally responding to what did they plan
to.
So
you want it staggered for the final, but not the preliminary?
So all that being said, I think there's a way to do this in which we're sort of moving forward on a mm-hmm. quicker pre-hearing schedule to get mm-hmm. to a February date. I mean, from the city standpoint, again, there's I don't know if the 11th through 14th were the first available for the examiner, and if we need to.
No, we could do the 4th through the 7th. I was just trying to give myself a week off to do some writing, but
I don't want to impose on your schedule.
That's okay. I can work around it. So I do feel like April is way too long for us to wait to get this thing done.
I would add that I apologize, but the sandwiching between these two points of unavailability has occurred in other cases. I do have a LUPA hearing during the week of February 4th, which also, so there are two LUPA hearings in the week of February 4th, the week of the 11th, and as I indicated, I'm doing briefing in each of those. That's the bind that I'm in.
Uh-huh.
There's just one of me, and that I can't be in a multi-day hearing here and then also be doing a LUPA hearing or preparing for a LUPA hearing. I can't agree to book myself that way because it's with the detriment of other clients, in fact, this client.
Have any comments, Mr. Casilius?
I'm sensitive to the scheduling, and that basically means that that counsel for the appellant is unavailable for basically January through March 18th.
Right.
That's again puts the city in a tricky position. I presume then, I mean, the Monday the 18th of February, is that the holiday?
Yeah.
And Mr. Eustace's unavailability begins on Thursday the 21st. That only leaves the 19th and 20th remaining. I guess I would simply say if that's the case and there's that, then I would press to ask to schedule at the very least upon as close as possible to Mr. Eustace's return in March. I just think waiting until end of April, that's a significant delay.
I agree with you. How about the 25th of March? That's a Monday. gives you 5 days to recover from vacation or whatever, presumed vacation.
The city would be available on the
25th. Okay.
Petitioner would be available on
okay.
the 25th.
All right, let's schedule it for that date. And I think 4 days should be more than enough, don't you? It doesn't sound like we have that many witnesses. Okay.
I would think so.
Okay. Okay. So we have oodles of time here now to schedule for
thanks.
Our...
Thanks to Mr. Eustace.
Thanks to Mr. Eustace. Our preliminary and final lists. So usually we work, you know, we have at least a week before hearing that the final list is due. And given your unavailability, maybe we should work, I don't know if we need to work those lists around that or how we should frame it here. Any suggestions? It's really up to you. It's up to your, you know, you're the ones who are doing this. So.
I remember that in this instance, defer to Mr. Eustace just because he's actually going to be out. But from the city standpoint, if we wanted to really accelerate that such that the final list is due more in advance prior to his departure, if that makes things easier. But I do think we need at least, they have to be due immediately upon his return just so we have enough information about how we're proceeding. With that in mind, unless Mr. Eustace wants to be filing something on his first day back, I would suggest we get the final witness lists in
before
his departure.
I think that'll be fine. So let's see. February 19, final lists.
Yes, that would be great.
Okay. And then do you want to step Mr. Casalius, yours back, your final list back, I don't know, 2 weeks?
Probably just a week would be fine.
Okay. Maybe
Mr. Eustace would be getting, I would come in while he's gone. So again, if we're staggering and he wants the benefit of seeing it, we could certainly move his back a week further if that's preferable so that he sees it before he leaves. I know now we're bumping into your LUPA case.
So let's see. So then if we bumped it a week earlier, then petitioner's final lists would be due February 12th, city's then February 19th?
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. That should work. And it's clear that the final lists are exclusive of rebuttal exhibits, et cetera, that are necessitated by
that's correct.
The second filing by the city.
Okay, then we can do preliminaries. Let's see, do you want to do them a month earlier? Like, say, the second week of January, somewhere in there?
That works for the city.
Okay.
Let's see. Could we do it, let's see. All right, again, simultaneous lists?
That would be fine. For the preliminary ones, that would be fine from the city standpoint.
All right. How's about January 29th?
Is that all right with you?
That would be fine.
Okay.
And again, with the concurrent filing from the city standpoint, we may be a little more inclusive at that standpoint because we will be guessing a little bit as to what might be needed.
Sure.
So we'll err on the side of disclosing more rather than less, but we'd expect to really limit it based on what we then see in the finals.
So I don't have to freak out when I see 15 witnesses. Okay, great.
With respect to preparing final lists, I'm assuming since we would be seeing the city's list on the same day that petitioners would be producing their list, if we have witnesses' exhibits that would be responsive to the witnesses' exhibits listed by the city, we could add additional witnesses and exhibits in the file.
Right, but they clearly have to be in rebuttal, not...
They have to be responsive.
They have to be responsive.
Okay.
Okay. All right, so now we just move to dispositive motions, which I think we could get done before the end of the year. Mr. Casilius, if you'd like, just pick a date in November you want to have a motion due.
In November?
The question would be, I think, just wanting to make sure the range from motion and response and reply, would we be looking at? Because ideally, I think if we were to pick end of November, the week after Thanksgiving,
mm-hmm.
I think that would still give enough time to have a full briefing schedule, sort of responses and replies before everybody disappears. Mm-hmm. At the end of December.
It should, depending on the scope of the motion. Under our rules, each party would receive a week's time to respond. Typically, in cases like this, I might give some more time. So I think we could, yours were due, say, the 29th or the 30th, then your response could be due by the 14th. And
the replies could be?
The following week.
That would work for me.
Okay.
So this means that the examiner will, meaning you.
That's me.
Yes, I know. would have the motions to decide roughly between the following week, which would be between Christmas and New Year's.
Unfortunately, I will be here, so.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Okay, so I think that those time intervals would work, as opposed to going to a Rule 56, 28 days, 4-week summary judgment mm-hmm. schedule.
Okay.
Although I'd say I think the schedule we've got here is roughly corresponds to that. You'd be having 2 weeks for the response, and we'd have roughly a week for the reply. Mm-hmm. And I think in terms of understanding, we'd be dropping everything on your doorstep right before holiday season. But I don't necessarily know that we'd be expecting an order on those. I mean, it'd be helpful to get it in January at some point before too far, so we could know how to alter our witness and exhibits accordingly. But I don't.
I'm not going to feel compelled to have it out by New Year's Day. Put it that way.
Understood.
Okay, if you would, Tadas, or again, I think you had proposed a schedule.
November 30th for city's motion. December 14th for appellant response.
Okay.
December 21st for city reply.
Okay. Very good. I'll be putting all of these dates and information into a pre-hearing order. And one other thing is that I know we typically... And as you know, we typically exchange exhibits just between the parties. But I would like to get a copy of the EIS in advance. It just seems ridiculous to think of having to read it within 10 working days or whatever it is I have to write the decision. So
with respect to these documents, I do know that it's been the practice of the examiner's office to require a set of
core documents.
Paper documents for, quote-unquote, a record.
Mm-hmm.
But for other purposes, could we do pleadings, papers, motions, et cetera, and exhibits in electronic form?
Yes, but there's a caveat to that, and you know, there's a page limit on our website. I can't remember what it is, 10 pages or something like that, limits the electronic filing, and then after that, you have to have a paper copy delivered to the office. So it might make sense in this situation to have the department list of core documents that we all agree are core documents for the case, and that way, Mr. Eustace, you wouldn't feel compelled to have to produce them. They could just be in the record, and then you could just refer to them electronically.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Let's see. I don't mean to quibble here. I think that the 10-page limit kind of was put in place back in the day when documents were filed by fax, and mm-hmm. avoiding, you know, this reams of paper coming off by fax. I did note that in, for instance, in the MHA appeal, there were briefs, motions, closing arguments that extended, you know, 60, 70, 80 pages. And those all existed as PDFs.
Mm-hmm.
It's my understanding that when the examiner gets like a 60-page brief, it's then scanned and then put into PDFs. And my suggestion would be that it just be filed in PDF, and so we eliminate the middle process of having the paper.
Well, I cannot cross my legal assistant, so I would have to refer with her to her and see what our typical requirements are, you know, and I'm not sure what Mr. Vansel may have done in that hearing, so.
Okay, that would be my, Tadas has direct knowledge.
Having participated in that, I believe, would need to confirm, but I believe that even when those, we did file electronically, but that the parties would then comply with the rule to bring, to deliver
a hard copy
when it exceeded a certain amount. In terms of the administrative record, it is the case that the examiner maintained the paper set, a hard copy mm-hmm. set, so parties were responsible for bringing those to the examiner for the proceeding. As between us, we can work out a service arrangement where we just do everything electronically, and I think we'd be amenable to that. So we should just talk offline about that.
That's fine.
Okay, and I can put a notation in the order that service is electronic.
That'd be great.
Between the parties.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, and then I will put a note in the pre-hearing order about the discovery and the need to have it done by the 14th, and if not, that I need to hear from the city regarding when they might expect to be producing it.
So to clarify, that would be the response to the public records request.
Exactly.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Yes. We do have another response due on that date. Yeah. Okay.
With regard to discovery, may I ask if the city anticipates engaging in discovery?
At this point, I think we don't know. It will be helpful to see, I think, the preliminary witness and exhibit list. But from I can also say I think we're not anticipating extensive use of discovery, if at all, at this point.
Good enough.
And we'll work with you. I mean, if it would be helpful, I think we could also set a cutoff for discovery in the schedule, even understanding that we might not be interested in it.
Okay. Sure. Well, what would you like that date to be?
With the preliminary list only coming in on the 29th. All things being equal, I think given what we understand, we should probably just not, and then we can figure out whether there's a problem that we need to bring before the examiner on discovery. I just don't anticipate. The city has not typically done a lot of written discovery in the cases I've been involved in, and while there have been some depositions, we won't know anything until the 29th.
Yeah,
we'll have a much better sense of that.
Okay.
See the witness and exhibit list.
All right.
Let's see, another matter. In the so-called MHA EIS appeal, The city had all of the proceedings transcribed, and I was going to ask if the city intends to prepare transcripts of the proceedings, of the testimony.
I'm not prepared to answer that. I don't know yet.
Okay.
And I think that that presents some unique issues, both with respect to court reporters and rules to pay court reporters for transcripts and obligations on the city from public records that we need to be very sensitive to. So I just don't know yet.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Anything else?
I'm looking over my list.
Me too.
I don't believe so.
I don't believe so either.
Great. Well, I will get this pre-hearing order out today, and we'll be on our way, slowly but surely. Okay?
Good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Availability, but I got it through City. So can you?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Did you serve?
I'll be. Should have.
Yeah.
Because Carol, I asked Carol. You know, they don't. They're the hearing examiners. They don't do e-filing.
Right.
And so I specifically asked Carol. I think it was day before yesterday.
Okay.
To send it.
No big deal. But I think to clarify in the future, what would be helpful, I will send you for e-service between the two of us. I'll send you sort of just the list of email addresses to use when serving us.
Okay,
you want to do the same in response, and then we'll just, it'll be easier moving forward. And then I didn't realize this person was on here. I don't know who that was, but.
He's not within our quote unquote client
group. Okay.
I know him by his first name,
okay.
Paul.
Okay.
And I believe he lives in Magnolia.
Okay. So all I ask is in the future is if I don't think he was intentionally doing any of that, but as I've got sort of attorney-client privilege stuff in front of me, I just don't
know. No, I believe me, I did not engage Paul.
I
sit behind Titus.
I know.
His keyboard.
I know. I just
bring out your dongle. Download it onto your machine.
I wasn't suggesting that. I could use your help sort of getting people to the right side of the table if you know that that's what's going on.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Of course.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Let me see if I can get you on the phone.
Get on the hook.
Okay. Yes, I'll see you at 5 in the morning. Jeff lives two blocks away from me.
Oh,
actually,
really?
Yeah.
I was concerned about the fog. This morning, did walk my dog at 5:15.
I was a little later today.
Because of the fog.
That's why. Let me see if I can get good to see you too. Let's see if I can get Jeff on the phone. And if we can, then we'll just go over there. And if we can't, then we just.
Okay. Also, I meant to bring you two. I had two jump drives with the full admin record.
Oh, great.
But I left them on my desk. So we could also walk over to my office.
Okay. Hi, Jeff, it's Dallas. So, Allie and I are here. We just finished and wanted to see if you
wanted to check in briefly. Should we come over there? Okay, sounds good. Yeah, we'll read it up. Okay.